Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Creamer, who is a longtime political organizer and strategist and the author of Stand Up Straight, How Progressives Can Win. He is a partner in Democracy Partners and a senior strategist for Americans United for Change. And he has an article at the Huffington Post, The Despicable Republican Attack on an American Prisoner of War. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Creamer.
Good to be with you, Ian.
And my understanding is that the news reports that have come out subsequent to the president's announcement of the release of the POW in exchange for some Taliban prisoners held at Guantanamo, that the people from Sergeant Bergdahl's unit that have come forth have all been organized by Republican strategists.
Well, I'm not surprised. I mean, their first line of attack was that this was somehow negotiating with terrorists, and that that would make this kind of hostage-taking more likely. In fact, of course, this was an exchange of prisoners between two belligerents in a war that has gone on in a traditional kind of prisoner exchange like this for millennia, and particularly at the close of conflicts. Bottom line requirement that this president feels is necessary is that he should leave no one of our soldiers behind on the battlefield. I think that's an obligation he felt and has, and that's exactly what he did. But you know, then they turned around and started attacking this guy's integrity and patriotism. You know, whatever mistakes he may have made 5 years ago that helped aid, if they did help aid his capture. The man has been there for 5 years in Taliban captivity, hopeless, in a situation that none of these critics can fathom. I mean, it's just unbelievable that they would attack this American prisoner of war upon his release. I think it's a new low.
Well, apparently, according to the New York Times, these soldiers from Bergdahl's unit have literally were found by Republican strategists and handled and then handed over to the press on a plate. So that I've never known anything quite like that in a breaking news story where a political party injects an element into the story that's, in this case, obviously, is flagrantly designed to discredit the Obama administration.
Well, to discredit this soldier. Just think about it. I mean, you know, these guys who, many of whom are straight-up chicken hawks, you know, who promoted the worst foreign policy disasters in a generation in Iraq through lying to the American people, never served a moment in the military themselves, never saw a combat, sat over here with their chair in their easy chairs or fancy restaurants while other people fought their wars for them, criticizing this guy who's been in Taliban captivity for 5 years. You know, if there is a problem with his behavior, that should be litigated by the American military, not by a bunch of Republican pundits. And if there is a need for some kind of discipline, or was at some point, it should be meted out by the American military, not by the Taliban.
Well, I think the American military have made it clear that if there is a case to be brought against Bergdahl for desertion or whatever, they will pursue it and look into it, which presumably they're doing now. There was a quote from an admiral in the Pentagon in regards to these questions raised by Republican operatives who have gone out and found members of Bergdahl's unit, and who the rest of the press, unfortunately, have dutifully printed what they've organized. This admiral said, I thought, rather on point. He said, look, if somebody falls off a ship, is pushed off a ship, or jumps off a ship, we still turn the ship around and find him. You know, that's military
right.
Code, isn't it?
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, talk about national security. I think it's important that every soldier or sailor or whatever who signs up understands that the United States of America has his or her back. And it's not going to abandon them because some talk show host argues that they've discovered that they aided in, by violating some rules, aided in their own capture or their own disappearance. I mean, that's outrageous. If the shoe were on the other foot, if Democrats took the position they have with respect to a prisoner of war that President Bush had negotiated to release, they would accuse us of being the most unpatriotic people on earth. I just think it's despicable.
But my understanding, Robert Creamer, is that whenever there's a way of negotiating with the so-called axis of evil, people that we don't want to deal with, inevitably, when you get down to a negotiation, whether it's, say, with Iran or North Korea or, in this case, the Taliban, the first thing on the table is if they're holding an American hostage, and that's the deal breaker. You don't even get to the real deal until you get that off the table. And it seems so obvious to me that this deal, brokered by the Emir of Qatar, is about that. In other words, there's clearly, in fact, the Afghan press is full of stories now about alarm at the extent to which the U.S. and the Obama administration is engaged in negotiations with the Taliban. Clearly to me, particularly getting swapping these Taliban prisoners, many of whom are senior and close to Mullah Omar, this has a lot to do with a bigger deal that's coming down the pike, surely.
So I would think that's right. And beyond that, I mean, it's of course, you negotiate with your adversaries. I mean, you don't negotiate with your friends. I mean, that's the point of, I mean, if you're in a conflict and you want to settle it, you negotiate with the people who are you're in the conflict with. Now, I personally have absolutely no use for the Taliban. I think their attitudes toward women and toward overall construction of society is primitive and disrespectful and something we've got to try and deal with. I mean, I'm not a Taliban sympathizer in the least, just the opposite. But on the other hand, if you're going to settle a conflict with somebody who's your adversary, that's who you negotiate with, not somebody else.
But in terms of the idea that the Republican operatives found some of these people from Bergdahl's platoon, Joshua Cornelson and Cody Full, apparently were their appearances to the media were arranged by Republican strategists. My understanding is that the main beef they have against Bergdahl is that he quite likely was, he certainly was AWOL and he wandered off, and why he did it is not entirely clear. But their main complaint about him is that he caused casualties because they said for months afterwards they were looking for him and they walked into various Taliban ambushes. That's been pretty much debunked by the New York Times, who said, you know, that in effect the initial searches for him, there were no American casualties. But, you know, weeks later there were casualties, but largely because they were in a very hot region where the Taliban, and particularly in this case the Haqqani network, were active. So can the White House do anything about, you know, shooting these downs if the press is so dutiful in printing stuff that's been arranged by Republican strategists? Surely, where's the war room from the Clinton administration?
Well, I think I'm betting the White House is absolutely has the same attitude I have here in terms of what an outrage it is for folks to be attacking an American POW. And I would not be surprised if they don't put out some of these things that contravene that, and that the New York Times article may be partially a result of that. I would say this, you know, the facts of the matter are things to be litigated by an appropriate investigation, not by this kind of stuff. And it's this is an overt attempt to smear this man who's been in captivity for 5 years. And think about that. I mean, don't you have better things to do than smear some poor young man who may have done something stupid? You know, that's where you don't go AWOL, because you're, you know, I mean, the guy who, it's not the first time that the deer that stays away from the pack or falls behind the pack is the one that gets cut out by the lion. You know, that's what happens. But the fact that he may have done something stupid is simply no justification for leaving him in Taliban activity for the rest of his life. I mean, captivity for the rest of his life. What an outrage! Is that what they propose? I mean, this is, as you say, this is part of the Obama derangement syndrome. Anything that the president does, these people basically, want to attack. It has infected right-wing pundits to the point that it's led them to what I think is a very dark place for them, and that is simply now over the top. I think this will be rejected by ordinary Americans because of its outrageous, unprecedented kind of tone, and because they're They're basically, you know, it reminds you of the shameful way that America treated returning Vietnam veterans almost a half century ago. And that's something we've tried very hard, progressives have tried very hard not to repeat. Those soldiers are brave, patriotic Americans doing what the country asked them to do. And if there's something wrong with a war, it's because the decision makers sent them there. And some of the same decision makers that sent them there are the people who are immediately ready to carp about these kind of decisions when, frankly, I don't know why any of these people should be taken seriously at all. They are some of the most, made some of the most tragic errors that killed, you're talking about killing people, they killed hundreds of thousands of people with their decision to go into Iraq. What an outrage that they should even have anything to say about this.
Well, of course, not only is Fox News beating the drum against Bergdahl, they're also going after his father, Bob, who apparently, in sympathy with his captive son, grew a beard and learned Arabic. I mean, it's bad enough going after Bergdahl, now they're going after his father, for God's sake. I mean,
think about it. Let's go after the grieving parents of a warrior who has been captured by the other side. Unbelievable. Whatever they do, geez. I mean, these people, you know, and they have struggled apparently for 5 years, but the reports say, to try and keep his captivity before the American people so that they could get their son home. I mean, you know, aren't these people parents, a lot of them?
So what's your sense then, Robert Creamer, of how this is going to play out in the midterms? Obviously, today's an important day in terms of primaries around the country, and Mississippi and Iowa, and of course in California. And I'm not sure what the narratives are on both sides, both on the Democratic side and the Republican side, except, you know, we were expecting that Obamacare would be the narrative. Republicans seem to be backing away from that. Benghazi is the other narrative. So far, there's no there, pending some kind of miracle or, you know, Moses returning with the tablets. I don't think that's ever going to materialize. What do you think the Republicans are going to run on?
I mean, here's the thing. All of these things are aimed at mobilizing. This is meat for the Republican base, and it helps them raise money. I mean, they don't do it. They're not stupid to do this from the point of view of their own kind of very particular self-interest, raising money, pandering to the narrow right-wing base that they want to turn out in this fall's election. When it comes to persuadable voters, I don't think these things will have any impact at all. I mean, domestic issues, particularly the economic question of whether we're going to raise the wages of ordinary Americans, will be at the center. Things like immigration will be at the center of turnout for our base. Things like, do they respect African Americans? Do they respect women? These guys who they respect immigrant Americans. But I think that will help determine whether or not large numbers of people turn out in this race. In general, I'm more optimistic, by the way, than a lot of people. And the reason is because, you know, there's a 3-5% greater reduction in Democratic turnout than Republican turnout in off years. And that can have a direct impact on the outcome of elections. But that's enough. We can do something about 3-5%. It's not 20%. It's something we can do a lot about by talking to people about why we're not going to get off their porch until they vote. It's something we can do a lot about by talking about how we've got to show people that the other side can't disrespect us if we're African Americans or immigrants or women or ordinary workers that are paid $7.25 an hour by people who make $25,000 an hour. And I think this is about respect, this election, and it's about whether we raise the wages of ordinary Americans. And if we talk about those things, I think we have a decent shot at certainly holding our own, and I hope winning both the Senate and potentially taking back the House.
Well, it seems, though, that this stuff over the Bergdahls, and particularly going after the family, is sort of the last gasp of the culture wars, because, you know, Bergdahl isn't your traditional military family type. You know, he's got a beard, and apparently he's made no secret of his opposition to U.S. military aggression, which is a lot of Americans right. feel that way. But it seems to me that... exactly. The vast majority are very happy that the U.S. is getting out of Afghanistan. And also that it was a majority of Americans who forced Obama's hand in terms of getting involved in Syria. So,
And most Americans do not want another war in the Middle East. And if the Republicans think they can make an issue about doing another war in the Middle East, I think that is a suicidal kind of undertaking from their point of view.
But I'm suggesting here that because the Bergdahls don't fit into the traditional straight-laced American military family waving flags, they seem like they're fair game for the right-wing press. And thing that's shameful about this is how the mainstream press has dutifully printed all of this stuff condemning Sergeant Bergdahl that has been arranged by Republican operatives. That's the
problem. Yeah, I agree with that. I would say I was watching CNN last night, and that's what got me to write this article. These guys act like people who talk about negotiating for hostages and are legitimate voices, and that's just outrageous. And it's but I think normal people can see through a lot of that, and it's incumbent upon progressives certainly to stand up proudly and not be defensive about this or Benghazi or any of these things, and just make it clear what we believe is really going on and how outrageous these things are. And to go right to the values, I mean, this is about whether we leave soldiers behind. This is not about any of this other stuff. And the election upcoming is about respect. It's about our wages. It's about whether people have who work full-time, live in poverty. I mean, it's about those kind of principled issues. If we stick to that, I think we have a good odds of overcoming the kind of mainstream press complicity in this kind of thing and breaking through.
And presumably the military families, and particularly those serving in the military, get it because they know what's going on here. And if any of their sons and daughters in the service were ever captured, they know that the U.S. will move heaven and earth to get them back. And that's
exactly.
That's a part of the deal, and that's what this is all really all about. So the rest of them really are shameful. I thank you for joining us, Robert Creamer.
It's very, very good to be with you. Thank you for your wonderful radio program. Thanks, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with Robert Creamer, who's a longtime political organizer and strategist and the author of Stand Up Straight, How Progressives Can Win. He is a partner in Democracy Partners and a senior strategist for Americans United for Change. And he has an article at the Huffington Post, The Despicable Republican Attack on an American Prisoner of War. We're going to take a brief station break and be back with a former Beijing-based foreign correspondent who covered the Tiananmen Square massacre 25 years ago.